ABC Radio Australia.
Here in Australia, the independent Tasmanian MP Andrew Wilkie has stepped up his campaign, calling on the Australian government to intervene in the case of the Nauru 19. The retrial of the group of ex-MPs and political activists on what Mr. Wilkie describes as nonsense charges linked to an anti-government protest more than 4 years ago is in its final stages. None of the 12 defendants who are actually in court are being legally represented, and for that reason they have declined to take an active part in proceedings. Mr. Wilkie says there is no doubt in his mind that the rule of law has broken down on Nauru, and as the island's main aid donor, he's written to Foreign Affairs Minister Maurice Payne saying it's high time the Australian government intervened to ensure that justice is done.
I've decided to become involved, at least as far as I can be involved, because the injustice in Nauru is ongoing, and there's been a great silence from the Australian government. There's been a great silence from other members of parliament. This is another one of those cases where we shouldn't be silent. We should be speaking up for the rule of law, and we should be speaking up in defence of the Nauru 19 in particular.
The counter-argument, though, I suppose, would be that this is a sovereign country and they're entitled to conduct their judiciary in whichever way they see fit, regardless of what we may think of it.
Well, it's a fair point that it's a sovereign country, at least on the face of it, although when you drill down a bit deeper, it's hardly a sovereign country. I mean, Nauru is virtually a puppet state of Australia. If it wasn't for the massive amount of aid that Australia provides to that country, if it wasn't for our significant presence there with the asylum seekers, it would be virtually a failed state. It's a barely disguised secret that Australia has great leverage over Nauru, is a real stakeholder in Nauru, and if the Australian government was to speak up and express its concern about the way the Nauru 19 are now back before the court, even though it was previously thrown out of court, the fact they're before a court on nonsense charges without legal representation, I mean, surely that should concern Australians, and surely it should empower us to use our leverage with the Nauru government for them to lift their game. We shouldn't be associating ourselves with any country that behaves this way.
Is it the case, though, that perhaps that the Australian government to some degree would be compromised by the obvious involvement in the asylum seeker processing centre which is still on the island?
Well, it's a very good point you make, because we are compromised. The Australian government was to explain to the Australian community all of the problems in Nauru. It would completely discredit our involvement in Nauru. I'm reminded of Tony Abbott about a year ago. He said, and I'll quote Tony Abbott, that Nauru is a very, very pleasant island. What a nonsense. It's clearly in the Australian government's best interest to peddle this myth that Nauru is a wonderful place, you know, a wonderful country, and, you know, the asylum seekers and refugees that were dumped there, virtually incarcerated there, have got great opportunities. I mean, that's the line the Australian government wants to peddle. It would certainly not reflect well on the Australian government to actually say the truth that it's virtually a gulag in the middle of the Pacific for the asylum seekers and refugees. The governance and justice system there has collapsed, that it is virtually a failed state except for the fact that we've virtually bought the island with aid. The Australian government would not at all want the truth to get out. So that probably helps to explain the Australian government's silence, but we shouldn't forgive the Australian government for that silence.
What in practical terms could the Australian government do without being seen to be interfering in another country's systems?
Well, the Australian government does need to interfere, and I don't care if it's seen to interfere. And given the enormous power we wield over Nauru, they might just need to suck it up. They're the ones who are doing something wrong by treating the Nauru 19 the way they are, and they need to be held to account, and I don't care if it's done publicly or privately. How should it be handled? Well, look, frankly, Scott Morrison should just pick up the phone to the leader of Nauru and say the way the Nauru 19 are being treated is entirely improper, and the government, which obviously controls the court, should drop the charges.
And have you had any response at all from Senator Payne?
No, no response yet. Hopefully I'll get a response. Unfortunately, we've almost run out of time, and I am worried that the court will finalise the matter before it can be stopped in its tracks. The fact that you've got 19 ex-Nauruan MPs and anti-government activists back before a court after the Australian judge, Geoffrey Mooka, threw it out last year, the fact that they're now back before the court with a new and presumably compliant judge without legal representation, it is, as Geoffrey Mooka said, shameful. And I'm in no doubt that the Australian government has enough control over the Nauruan government to bring it to an end if the Australian government wants that outcome. If the Australian government is not lobbying for the court case to be dropped, then the Australian government is complicit.
Two members of the Nauru 19, Squire Jeremiah and Rutherford Jeremiah, are in Melbourne. They managed to get off Nauru before a travel ban was reimposed and they're seeking asylum in Australia now. I mean, is that something you feel the Australian government should be looking closely at? Do you feel they have grounds for being given asylum here?
Well, I'm in no doubt that both Squire and Rutherford have reasonable grounds for asylum. If the Australian government doesn't want to appear to interfere in Nauru, the least it could do would be to give those two people asylum in our country.